Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the conference call of the Sanitation Company of Paraná, Sanepar, where we're going to disclose results for the third Q 2019. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements regarding Sanepar's business prospects, estimates of operating and financial results, and growth prospects. These are only projections, and as such, are based solely on Sanepar management's expectations regarding the future of the business and its continued access to capitals in order to finance the company's business plan. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. Such forward-looking statements substantially depend on changes in market conditions, governmental rules, the performance of the industry, and the Brazilian economy, among other factors, in addition to the risks presented in the disclosure documents filed by Sanepar and are therefore subject to change without prior notice. We would like to inform all participants that you are in the listen-only mode. After the initial presentation, we're going to open for a Q&A session limited to 30 minutes. To start the conference call, to the Financial Director and IR Director, Abel Demétrio. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Thank you for your participation. We have our Accounting Manager, Ziris Neira, Regulation Manager, Tulio, Planning Manager, and Sodré, our Financial Manager. To start our presentation, we're going to start with slide number one, with our highlights. We have a 2.3% increase in the volume billed growth for water as compared to the nine initial months of 2018. Volume billed growth for sewage was 4.7%, 73.5% increase, or 73.5% of sewage serviced and 100% of the water serviced. EBITDA margin reached 38.1% in the initial 9 months of 2018. Net revenue increased 10.4%, EBITDA grew by 14.9%, and our net profit growth was 21.2%. On the next slide, you see the results. Total savings was 1.8% for water, for sewage 4.7%, and total savings were 4.1%. Default level moved from 9.1% to 1.6% in the nine initial months of 2019, and operational efficiency decreased, moving to 231.8 liters per connection per day. Slide number three, performance ratios. Covenants and public debentures on the third, eighth, and ninth issues. We're still at comfortable levels. We're actually doing better than 2018. Our net bank debt was 1.5 and the net financial expenses coverage ratio was 10.4 when it should actually be equal or higher than 1.5. As to the BNDES system and the other covenants and debentures, we see that the net bank debt, according to our EBITDA, is 1.57%. Debt service coverage ratio EBITDA was 2.52, and other onerous debt, such as pension funds, healthcare funds, electric bills, and taxes, reaching 0.54% when the limit is equal or less 1. As to Caixa contracts, they are following the debentures, both the public debentures and the BNDES debentures. We mentioned the EBITDA already. We finished the semester with 47.9% for debt ratio, ROIC 12.9%, and ROE 17.3%.
Slide number five, financial performance. Net revenue, $3,383,000,000 in the nine initial months of 2019. Our EBITDA reached $1.34 billion. That's a 14.9% increase. Net income and net margin increased by 21.2% as compared to last year. Operating costs, 7.6% increase, reaching $2 billion as compared to 2018. Slide number six. $1.056 billion. Our net debt is $363 billion. Total cost of debt, $3.1 billion. And that is 1.6 times leverage, which is in line with numbers we saw in the end of 2018. Our average cost of debt moved from 9.2% to 8.8%. Investments reached $752 million. That's a 0.4% increase as compared to the same period last year. 45% for water, 44% for sewage, and 11% for other investments. Slide number seven, you see the income statements for this quarter. Net revenue, as compared to previous year, grew by 13.4%. We grew 0.4% in our total costs and expenses, and our EBITDA reached 36% of variation. As to the accumulated results, up until September 2019, we see that the net revenue grew by 10.4%, personal grew by 4.6%, profit sharing program decreased by 19%, by 28.2%. We see a higher impact here because of the treatment materials and lab materials, and some electromechanical materials that increased this figure. Electricity, we grew by 15.1% because at the end of the reduction of the discount from 15 to 12% this year. Last year, we increased by 15.99%, and this year we also had a 3.41% readjustment tariff, aside from the yellow and red flags that we use according to the occasion. For third-party services, we grew by 1.5%, general and tax expenses, minus 16%, provision for contingencies, 589%, mainly due to some of labor provisions that we have already highlighted in previous quarters. Pension plan and medical insurance, 30.3% decrease. Financial expenses decreased by 14.5%, and other costs and expenses increased 37.5%, mainly due to the Maringá payments. So this result in a 7.6% increase. On the next slide, slide number nine, this is what we see. Reduction in
operational asset in terms of provision. We saw an increase of 18.4% in this period. Pension funds, 4.8%. Contract assets, 24.1%. And other assets and liabilities, 28.1%. Days working capital, here we see 19 days, which is favorable. In terms of cash flow, operating activities created 1.055 billion. Investing activities, 752 million, and financing activities, 372 million. Loans and financing representing 566 million. Here you see the figures for dividends, financing payments, and lease payments, which reduced our cash flow from previous year to this year. As to independent audits, on August the 23rd, the company elected independent members to follow on the issues. These are external auditors. After their nomination, the External Commission for Investigation started investigating the work that is being carried out. They're also investigating documentation, and they're running internal audits. And the main goal is to start our forensic work, which should happen soon, since in the last quarter, we are going to see the review from the auditors. We're now open for the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to open the floor for questions and answers. If you want to pose your question, please dial star nine. We have a question from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Good morning, Carolina.
Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first one is regarding the possibility of anticipating the tariff changes, since we already talked about the changes in the tariff this year. And the speech made by one of our ministers, and you mentioned how to transfer this cost to society. Did you have any conversation in that regard with the members of the committee who are actually assessing the impact of the tariffs and with the regulating agencies about a possible timeline to analyze the process? Second question. Earlier this year, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, you were considering starting a new efficiency program that would benefit pension funds or incentivize pension funds. I would like to learn if there has been any advance in that debate. Thank you. Thank you for your questions. Let me start answering your second question. We've had the pension reform that was approved by Congress, and we intend to keep on with our program up until 2020, but because of how much it took for us to readjust the tariffs, and because of the company's liquidity, we thought it was better for us not to move on with this program in 2019. But yes, next year we should resume this debate, since it will be more clear, and since we're going to have a better planning for next year. In our business plan, pipeline for the beginning of 2019 was to start this debate in May or June this year, but because of budget issues, we decided to postpone these debates for 2020. As to tariffs, we hadn't talked about this up until the injunction was canceled, the one that suspended part of the tariff readjustment. We had discussions with them on what this approval means to us and our efforts so as to reduce costs. That is something that is not clear to society many times. We've been talking to AGEPAR, but we understand that as of this year, this is not going to move forward because now we are getting back to the 3.66% from May until the date this injunction was suspended by the Brazilian Federal Audit Court that happened in September. We know that AGEPAR actually hired a consultancy company so that they may carry out this debate next year. There may be a public hearing that should happen only in 2020. Great, thank you. We would like to remind all participants that if you want to pose a question or a comment, please dial star 9. Next question comes from Gabriel Francisco from XP Investimentos. Good morning, Gabriel. Good morning, thank you. Can you please talk a little bit about the increase in the demand that was a bit beyond or above expectations? That increase due to weather conditions? Was there an increase in the number of connections in certain municipalities? Thank you. During this period of time, there was an increase in the water consumption rates, both in the first Q 2019 and in the third Q 2019. Water consumption and build volumes for water as well as sewage measurements increased. Then, of course, we have to spend more with chemicals, with treatment material, with third-party services. Temperatures were higher than the historical average, mainly in the Midwest and in the Southwest. In some places, we'd even had to take some water trucks to these places. So yes, there was some increase in costs and in services, mainly manageable materials because of a higher consumption. And of course, investments we make, more work so we can follow up on them, and of course that is reflected in the costs. Thank you, Abel. Now I have a follow-up question. Considering the changes or the possible changes in the regulatory framework, have you been talking to other companies in the industry so you can discuss the short-term contracts or the renovation agreements? That is for the program agreements, not for the concession ones. According to PL 3261, which is a bill that is to be passed in the Senate, the company is paying a great attention to it and thinking about legislation changes. So we've been contacting some municipalities where we could rediscuss agreements. So yes, that is within our strategy scope. Think about this short-term renovation agreements. There's been quite a long debate in that regard. Some of these agreements have actually come to propositions. In Ponta Grossa City, we have actually moved forward quite a bit. So yes, we're paying to short-term agreements so we can postpone them because of this bill that is to be passed in Congress. Perfect. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any question or comment, make sure you dial *9. Next question comes from Rodrigo Fernandez from Votorantim Bank. Good morning, Rodrigo.
Good morning.
I would like to learn a bit more about cash flow generation because the EBITDA conversion was the slowest one. You mentioned that cycles are shorter. So I would like to learn from you if we are now at a proper pace, if we tend to go back to previous levels. Can you elaborate a bit more on that, please? Thank you for your question. You are correct. There were some impacts to our cash flow and our EBITDA because of the payments, for example, that we had to make to the municipality of Curitiba that, of course, had an impact to our results. Maringá also impacted our cash flow because of the payments we had to make. So there was an impact to our EBITDA. Default rates also increased, reaching 1.6%, which again impacts our results, but also has an impact to our cash flow. There were some anticipations that had to be made in the first quarter. For example, because of the Cianorte issues, which ends up reducing the conversion rate for our cash flow EBITDA. In terms of payment anticipation, that is an issue that has been debated by the Brazilian Federal Audit Court, TCU. In Curitiba, there is only one installment to be paid. And again, we're reducing default rates in the previous quarter, so we should have a better cash flow conversion, which is going to be more aligned to our EBITDA. Thank you. Once again, we would like to remind all participants that if you want to pose any question or comment, make sure you dial *9. Do you have any further questions or comments? If so, please make sure you dial *9.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to wait for a few more moments to see if we have any further. If so, please dial *9. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or comments, please dial *9. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to pose any question or comment, dial 9*9. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or comments, please dial *9. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or doubts, please dial *9. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or comments, please dial star 9. We hereby conclude the Q&A session, and we hand the floor back to Mr. Abel Demetrio for his final remarks. I want to thank everyone for their participation in this conference call, and we would like to remind you all that our IR team is at your full service. Make sure you call us if you have any questions. Thank you and have a good day. Sanepar conference call is hereby concluded. We thank everyone for your participation and we wish you a great day.